What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, September 12th, 2017, getting into the week here. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. It is also Leonard Peltier's birthday. And if you do not know who Leonard Peltier is, you ought to, because he's the perfect example of somebody who has been steamrollered by the establishment for political ends here. And there's a wonderful documentary about Leonard Peltier's case called Incident at Oglala. Unfortunately, it's not available for free anywhere on the net, but you can watch it on YouTube for, I think it's 99 cents. It's also over on Netflix, so you might want to take a look at that. It's a very, very good documentary. So basically, recapping the case, Leonard Peltier is a Native American who is in prison. He's considered by Amnesty International, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the National Congress of American Indians, the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Center for Human Rights, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and Reverend Jesse Jackson, among others, to be a political prisoner of the United States. Now, Leonard Peltier was convicted for the deaths of two FBI agents who died during a 1975 shootout on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and he's been in prison for over 29 years. Now, there's actually a movie out called Thunderheart. It's been out for a few years. It stars Val Kilmer, and actually, it's my favorite Val Kilmer movie. And it's loosely based on what was going on and the amount of corruption that was going on the Pine Ridge Reservation. So basically, the Wounded Knee occupation of 1973 marked the beginning of a three-year period of political violence on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. The tribal chairman hired vigilantes, self-titled as goons, the guardians of the Oglala Nations, to rid the reservation of the American Indian movement, which was basically more traditional and didn't want the reservation exploited commercially the way so many others already have been. So evidence indicated goon responsibility in the majority of crimes, but despite a large FBI presence, nothing was done to stop the violence. The FBI supplied the goons with intelligence on AIM members and looked the other way while the goons committed crimes. And one former goon member reported the FBI actually supplied him with armor-piercing ammunition. So, Leonard Peltier was a leader of the American Indian movement, and he was asked by the traditional people at Pine Ridge, South Dakota, to support and protect the traditional people being targeted for the violence. And Mr. Peltier and a small group of young AIM members set up camp on a ranch owned by the traditional Jumping Bull family. So on June 26, 1975, two FBI agents in unmarked cars followed a pickup truck onto the Jumping Bull Ranch. The families became alarmed and feared they were under attack. Again, it was an unmarked car. They didn't know who was in there. All they knew was the goons were running around the reservation shooting at people. So shots were fired and a shootout erupted, and more than 150 agents, goons, and law enforcement surrounded the ranch. When the shootout ended, two FBI agents and one Native American lay dead. The agents had been injured in the shootout and then were shot at close range. The Native American, Joseph Stuntz, was shot in the head by a sniper's bullet. Nobody ever investigated who fired the sniper's bullet. Nobody was ever charged in connection with his death. Now, according to FBI documents, more than 40 Native Americans participated in the gunfight, but only three AIM members, Bob Robideau, Darrell Butler, and Leonard Peltier, were brought to trial. Now, Mr. Robideau and Mr. Butler were arrested first, and they went to trial. And a federal jury in Iowa acquitted them on grounds of self-defense, finding that their participation in the shootout was justified given the climate of violence that existed on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and, of course, they could not be tied to the close-range shootings of the FBI agents. Now, Leonard Peltier had escaped to Canada, but he was arrested in Canada on February 6, 1976, along with Frank Blackhorse, And the United States gave the Canadian court affidavits signed by Myrtle Pourbaix, who said she was Mr. Peltier's girlfriend and saw him shoot the agents. In fact, Ms. Pourbaix had never met Mr. Peltier and was not present at the shootout. And soon afterwards, Ms. Pourbaix recanted her statements and said the FBI threatened her and coerced her into signing the affidavits. We've seen that before at the Oklahoma City bombing, down there in Florida, the Boston Marathon bombing. This is what they do. The FBI are not the swell bunch of Joes portrayed on movies and TV. So Mr. Peltier was extradited to the United States. He was tried in 1977. The trial was held in North Dakota before United States District Judge Paul Benson, a conservative judge appointed to the federal bench by Richard Nixon. Now, key witnesses like Myrtle Pourbaix were not allowed to testify. And unlike the Robideau-Butler trial in Iowa, evidence regarding the climate of violence on Pine Ridge was restricted. We're going to do a quick little shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And we're talking about Leonard Peltier and how he got sent to jail. And it's a big stinking cover-up, falsified evidence, falsified testimony. Today is his birthday, and that's why we're covering the story right now. So an FBI agent who had previously testified that the agents had followed a pickup truck onto the scene of the shootout changed his account, stating the agents had followed a red and white van onto the scene, a vehicle which Mr. Peltier occasionally drove. So they changed the testimony to implicate him. Three teenage native witnesses testified against Mr. Peltier. They all later admitted the FBI forced them to testify. Even with all that, not a single witness identified Leonard Peltier as the shooter of the FBI agents. Now, the U.S. attorney prosecuting the case claimed that the government had provided the defense with all FBI documents concerning the case. On the contrary, more than 140,000 pages had been withheld. That right there would be grounds for dismissal. Now, an FBI ballistics expert testified that a casing found near the agents' bodies matched the gun tied to Mr. Peltier. However, there had been a ballistic test proving that the casing did not come from that gun, and that was intentionally concealed and withheld from the defense. This was a railroading, plain and simple. Now, the jury, unaware of all of these contradictory facts, found Mr. Peltier guilty. Judge Benson sentenced Mr. Peltier to two consecutive life terms. Now, there was a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that brought a lot of this exculpatory evidence to light, and so Mr. Peltier sought a new trial. And the Eighth Circuit ruled there is a possibility that the jury would have acquitted Leonard Peltier had the records and data improperly withheld from the defense been available to him in order to better exploit and reinforce the inconsistencies casting strong doubts on the government's case. Even though they admitted that, they still refused to have a new trial for Leonard Peltier. Because after all, you can't embarrass the U.S. judicial system. You can't embarrass the FBI by pointing out in court that they lied and fabricated evidence. Now, during the oral arguments, the government attorney conceded that the government does not know who shot those agents, and took the position that Leonard Peltier is equally guilty whether or not he shot the agents at point-blank range or participated in the shootout from a distance. Mr. Peltier's co-defendants participated in the shootout from a distance, but they were acquitted. Now, Judge Heaney, who authored the decision denying the new trial, has since voiced firm support for Leonard Peltier's release, stating that the FBI used improper tactics to convict Mr. Peltier. The FBI was equally responsible for the shootout, and that Mr. Peltier's release would promote healing with the Native Americans, and it certainly would. It's a sore point. Now, Leonard Peltier has served over 29 years in prison. He's overdue for parole. He has already received several human rights awards for his good deeds from behind bars, which include annual gift drives for the children of Pine Ridge, fundraisers for battered women's shelters, and donations of his paintings to Native American recovery programs. This is a good man. Now, Leonard Peltier, he's getting old, as we all are. He suffers from diabetes, high blood pressure, and a heart condition. So time to see justice enacted. is very short. Although, how can there really be justice when you've taken 29 years of somebody's life away from them? And, of course, the FBI is out there saying there can't be a new trial. We know we're right. We're never wrong. The FBI never does any of these things. But we know the FBI does. Go back and look at the history of COINTELPRO in the 1960s. The FBI committed crime after crime after crime after crime targeting Native Americans, the anti-Vietnam movement, the early women's movement, and, of course, the blacks with their Black Panther coloring book. Stunts like the hippie riot at Disneyland. This is what the FBI is really all about. They're not the swell bunch of Joes you see in those Hollywood movies and TV shows. In fact, when he was still director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover was just absolutely manic about making sure that Hollywood always portrayed the FBI in a positive light. You may have seen on Turner Classic Movies a film called The FBI Story, starring Jimmy Stewart. And what most people don't know is J. Edgar Hoover was actually on that set every day telling the director how to direct the movie to produce the image of the FBI that J. Edgar Hoover wanted out there. And he actually appears in the movie once from the backside only because he was afraid of being recognized as he went about his business. But that's the kind of control they have. And if you go to my COINTELPRO page, there's another little sub-article about how tightly the FBI monitors scripts in Hollywood. And if there's anything there that makes the FBI look bad, they'll go on in and they'll exert whatever pressure it takes to get the script changed or the project canceled. They're a modern Gestapo in our own midst. This isn't law enforcement. This is imposing the will of the rulers. The case cannot be made that Leonard Peltier had anything to do with the deaths of those FBI agents, but he became the sacrificial scapegoat so that the FBI could say, well, we found our man, and the case is solved, and the FBI always prevails, which was the entire rationale for the frame-up of Bruno Richard Hauptmann for the death of the Lindbergh baby. They had to put out the public image that the FBI was always going to get their man. Even if it's the wrong one, as long as they fry somebody, the media and the public will be happy. All right, let's get on to more current events here. Storm Irma is now up into the middle of the United States, causing a certain amount of misery up there. And down in Florida, they're finally beginning to pick up and clean up and try and figure out what's going on. Apparently, the Florida Keys took the brunt of Irma's fury. Certainly, there's a lot of flood damage going on up into Florida proper. But they're saying it's going to be weeks before all services are restored. Apparently, an aircraft carrier and other Navy ships have been deployed to the region to help with search and rescue operations in Florida. And Governor Rick Scott has done a flyover of much of the state and saying he just hoped everyone survived. It's a little optimistic. I think we're probably going to find that some people, especially the homeless, didn't make it through there. Kind of a nasty story coming on out here. There was a Pizza Hut manager in Florida at the Jacksonville branch who literally threatened to punish workers if they evacuated too early for Irma, and basically said the employees who needed to evacuate would get a 24-hour grace period before the storm. If they tried to leave before that, they did so at risk of their job. It's a little cold-hearted, I think. It's a little cold-hearted, especially when you take into account all the traffic jams and all the lines at the store buying supplies and everything. I don't think that really puts out a positive image for Pizza Hut. Not that I do pizza as much anymore, but there we are. Now, a little bit of good news coming from Hurricane Jose. The latest projected track shows it is now turned north, heading up into the North Atlantic. Now, apparently Jose just can't seem to make up its mind. It's sort of been bopping around all over there. Or the prediction models are screwy. And as a matter of fact, I saw an article the other day asking why the United States doesn't use the European storm prediction models, which seem to be considerably more accurate. in their forecasting. But I guess it's a point of pride. We've got our own models, and they may not be very good, but they're ours, and we're going to use them. That kind of explains why that far end of the predictive track just sort of whips around back and forth like a snake on meth. The remnants of Hurricane Katia have scooted over here into the Pacific, and it is now forming a tropical depression, which is probably going to miss Hawaii by a wide margin, but we're not out of our hurricane season just yet either. Now, obviously, yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11. Everybody was out there with their various commemorations, and a lot of people were out there saying, you know, the story is really total nonsense. And article coming out of ZeroHedge.com. Krieger, we need to admit the government story about 9/11 is bovine excrement. That's not the phrase that he used. And says, unless we come to terms with 9/11 and the obvious fact that the official story is a ridiculous fairy tale, it'll be hard for our nation to move forward in an intelligent, courageous, and ethical manner. And he's absolutely right. All of these known documented lies, Saddam's nuclear weapons, Assad's sarin gas, 9/11 itself, are basically these festering wounds in the hide of the government. They're not going to go away, and everybody sees them. And the longer the government goes along trying to reinforce the official story, the more infuriating it gets for the average American who does not like being lied to, who does not like being treated like they're a moron. We are insulted by the reality of a government that lies to us shamelessly, bald-facedly. We're getting fed up with it. Better no government at all than a government that lies to us. More and more people are coming to that conclusion as well. Now, back on 9/11 when it happened, everybody was chipping in. And I think I mentioned the other day, when Claire and I were in New York for the 10th anniversary of 9/11, we noticed a change in the New Yorkers. I'd been to New York before. In fact, I'd even visited the World Trade Towers. I'd actually been in the building and down in that little gallery between them. And back then, the New Yorkers behaved just like the stereotype you see on TV. They're brusque, they're shouting at people, and very different on the 10th anniversary. And we talked to a taxi driver whose nephew had died in the World Trade Towers. And he said, 9/11 just brought us all together. And it's like I said, talking about Hurricane Harvey and Irma. Adversity does bring out the best in the American character, except for the looters and the scammers. So anyway, there was a unit called Team Romeo of police officers, and it was sort of an informal group because the Romeo stands for retired. And all these retired police officers put their uniforms back on and showed up to volunteer helping to find people. And one of them, Lieutenant Anthony Tony Zioli, is coming out with a book called Rising from the Ashes about how he and the surviving members of his unit and many of the other first responders are all suffering from cancers, post-traumatic stress disorder, lung diseases, sleep apnea, digestive diseases, and many have, of course, died, all as a result of inhaling the toxic cocktail of mercury, jet fuel, asbestos, and more. And remember the head of the EPA standing up there on television assuring the first responders it was perfectly safe for them to work in the wreckage of the World Trade Towers without special equipment. The air is fine. You can go on down there. And everybody who believed the head of the EPA has paid a horrible, horrible price for that. Okay, we're coming up on our first commercial break here, and we'll be back after these few words from our sponsors. Talk to you in a minute. 4 minutes. Folks,
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, there's kind of an interesting article here came out of Pamela Geller, who, as you know, got a very weird bias going on there. And she's got this story out there claiming that teachers are scared to teach about 9/11 as they're afraid of a backlash from the Muslim parents. And the article goes on about after Pearl Harbor, teachers were free to talk about what happened, or the official story about what happened, the same thing regarding Germany. I don't think it has anything to do with backlash from the Muslims. The difference today is the internet and the independent media. And people can go online and find out for themselves whether what the government is claiming is true or not. And the more we dig, the more we realize that we have spent our entire lives in this fog of lies coming from the government. Americans are the most lied to people on the face of the earth, and we have to understand that in order to move forward. Now, turning to the domestic political scene here, Steve Bannon is out there. He's opening up with both barrels. He's called Trump's firing of Comey a disaster, which I disagree with. I think Comey should have gone. I'm not sure that his replacement is really doing all that well. But Bannon is now devising a plan to shake up the Republican Party because he's seeing too much opposition to Trump from within his own party. And so Bannon is now courting a number of GOP primary opponents to go up against sitting Republican senators next year. I think that's a good thing. I think we need a lot of new blood there in Congress and Washington, D.C. These old, corrupted fossils need to go. We're going to take a phone call. Steve in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a little visit with my general practitioner yesterday, and it was funny that the tech that was taking my blood pressure before she, after she finished doing my vital signs, she said, "Oh, by the way, we just got our shipment in the flu vaccine 2 days ago. Would you like your flu vaccine?" So I just want to let you know that the stockpiles of flu vaccine have arrived, and you can just bet that the government's going to be start using the fear campaign here pretty soon. This is going to be the deadliest one yet, and start pushing that fear factor to get people to comply with this fraudulent hoax of a vaccine.
Well, again, there's questions about whether it even works. There's questions more and more people are starting to understand these vaccines are often causing the diseases they're supposed to protect us from. We've seen that repeatedly with the measles vaccine, the mumps vaccine, where all of a sudden, you know, we'll see the news report about, oh, there's a mumps outbreak. It's a pandemic. And then you find out everybody who's come down with mumps actually had the vaccine.
Yeah, including the shingles. I found somebody else who had the shingles vaccine and got the shingles from it.
Attenuated pathogen approach is very, very dangerous. First of all, not only can the vaccine make you ill, but you become infectious to everybody around you. And it's almost like there's a deliberate mechanism to try and keep us all sick in order to maximize the profitability for the medical industrial complex.
You know, I follow George Carlin made a comment once that made a lot of sense to me. And he said that you have an immune system for a reason. You're really to challenge your immune system, to strengthen your immune system by being exposed to certain things. And that we're pumping our bodies full of all these toxins. And what good and what use is your immune system if you want to put a vaccine in your body for every single thing out there? And you're actually doing yourself a disservice by not allowing your immune system to strengthen and become strong and needed when you need it. You know, he said someday all these health nuts are going to be dying from nothing. You know, his little bit was on that. So I do agree, if you don't use it, you lose it. And I think our immune systems are there for a reason. And we do need to challenge them. We need to use them and stop with all these quick fixes of vaccines and everything else. We need to stop that and actually rely on the immune system because that's what they've given us.
Well, unfortunately, the problem is some of the chemicals that are being used as adjuvants in these vaccines have been shown to actually permanently damage our own natural immune system. They don't want us to have natural immunity. They're trying to create a dependency on these shots. Oh, there's a new illness. Here, have a shot. They're literally operating on the same moral level as the old traveling Wild West medicine show. Steve, we got to take a break for commercials. Thank you very much for the phone call. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, Steve Bannon, first of all, the White House has already responded to Bannon's comment about Trump's worst decision by simply saying Steve Bannon talks in extremes, which isn't really a denial. It's an attempt to dismiss him and say, oh, he's just mouthing off. But he has come on out and said something that I think we all sort of intuitively understood from the beginning. Steve Bannon is out there saying that Hillary Clinton is not very bright. She's an excellent poseur. I mean, she's out there saying that if she'd won the presidency, she would have been seen as a genius. But frankly, looking back at her decision-making during the campaign, it seems her success is simply based on being willing to do things other people would not, like pay for play and knocking off her enemies and so forth and so on. And for 25 years, actually longer than that, Hillary's been in the public eye. And for all those years, we're told again and again and again and again that Hillary's brilliant and Hillary's a warm, funny, vibrant, real person. No, she's a bitter old lady. And I'm not impressed with the with her IQ, at least as it's been displayed on TV. And again, the bitterness is coming on out. She's still on her sour grapes tour. She's out there going to all these events, charging huge amounts of money for the tickets. I wonder how many people are actually showing up. Probably as many as attended her rally during last year's election. Now, interestingly enough, there's been a pushback on the FBI's denial of a Freedom of Information Act request for Hillary Clinton's emails. And the FBI came on out and said, we're not going to release them because there's a lack of public interest. Well, there is no lack of public interest exception to the Freedom of Information Act. The only exception is if there's national security involved or if somebody's privacy will be invaded. And sometimes even that one gets abused. When Alan Favish went before the Supreme Court trying to get the crime scene photos released of Vincent Foster's body to confirm reports that there had been a second gunshot wound to the neck, the Supreme Court ruled against him, saying that dead people have a right to privacy, which is absurd. But if you're covering up high-level assassination and corruption, you'll probably grasp at any straw that's offered to you. So here we are with the FBI saying the public isn't interested, therefore we don't have to release them, which is absurd. Obviously, Ty Clevenger, who filed the Freedom of Information Act request, he's interested. And so we're all scratching our heads about what the heck is going on here. And Clevenger isn't the type to give up easily, and he found a judge in Maryland who agrees that the willful destruction of evidence that was subject to a congressional subpoena is not a frivolous issue that suffers from an overwhelming lack of public interest. And apparently Maryland Judge Paul Harris Jr. has ordered the Maryland State Bar to investigate former Hillary aides David Kendall, Cheryl Mills, and Heather Samuelson for their efforts in allegedly helping Hillary destroy evidence. They're facing disbarment for what they did. Three less lawyers we have to worry about. Three less corrupt, crooked lawyers we have to worry about. Now, as you know, the corporate media and the Democrats and Hillary are still pushing this whole Russia collusion, Russia hacked the DNC servers, Russia's bad, Russia's evil, blah, 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 blah. And we're getting sick to death of hearing about it, especially because we understand there's a considerable amount of evidence that it wasn't an external hack, but an internal leak based on the metadata on the files themselves. They had to be copied from the server to a flash drive. They were copied too fast to be going out over the internet. And there are other indications as well, along with whatever's coming in from Julian Assange and various other parties. And apparently some of Seth Rich's family members are saying that he was the leaker as well, right up to the day he got murdered. So Adam Carter has published an article that says that Robert Mueller and Jeff Sessions have been personally informed of all of this information debunking the Russian hacking narrative, which means they can't go on pretending that they don't know about this. And this is coming out of Disobedient Media. And basically, Carter's been on the forefront of debunking the hacking narrative. He dismantled the Guccifer 2.0 persona, found out we're right here in the United States. And basically creating the impetus and grounds for the analysis of the Forensicator and corroborating the efforts of veteran intelligence professionals for sanity. So Sessions and Mueller are now aware of this information. They can't pretend they don't know there is this exculpatory information. Is that going to change the Russian hacking narrative? Of course not. Their job is to protect Hillary and the narcocracy and get Donald Trump out of there before he really causes trouble. Meanwhile, yet another anonymously sourced Trump-Russia story has fallen apart. Now, this all started when NBC News dropped with the network hyped as a potential bombshell last week about notes taken by Manafort during their Russian meeting, and it contained cryptic references to donations. That was the original headline. And the story claimed that Manafort's notes from the 2016 Trump Tower meeting with White House aide Jared Kushner, Donald Trump Jr., and a Russian lawyer included the word donations near a reference to the Republican National Committee. Then all of a sudden, NBC began walking back the potential bombshell almost immediately, issuing a correction, saying that the word donation didn't actually appear in the notes, but quoting one anonymous source who said the word donor was in the notes. But NBC's corrected story still wasn't accurate. Politico came on out with a report saying that the word donor doesn't appear anywhere in Manafort's notes. And moreover, the notes are not seen as damaging to the Trump family or campaign officials. It's a big nothing burger. And NBC has got egg all over their face because they relied on two anonymous sources briefed on the evidence to run with the story. And then they wonder why people just won't trust the corporate media any longer. Meanwhile, the new FBI director is out there saying that he can see no evidence of White House interference in the Russia investigation. And that was a big stink. Mueller was out there trying to find something on that as grounds for impeachment of Donald Trump, that he fired Comey because Comey was getting too close to the Trump-Russia connection. And the new FBI director saying, no, it's not there. It's another nothing burger. So let's get on back to that bitter old lady, Hillary Clinton, who is becoming a caricature of herself at this point. And she's an embarrassment to the Democratic Party. They wish she would just fade away and stop yakking, because she's becoming a serious liability going into next year's midterm elections. But she's out there on her sour grapes tour, and apparently she's charging for the tickets, for the VIP tickets. Like, there's going to be a huge crowd. They're going to come on in. And she's charging up to $2,375 for the VIP tickets. Lots and lots of money for doing absolutely nothing. When you're on a book tour, you don't charge admission. You sit there and you autograph the books so people will buy them. And, you know, it's a bargain. It's a bargain. Amazon and Walmart have already slashed the price on Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened, by 40% before the book is even officially released, which is actually today. Today it goes on sale, and it's already marked down 40%. I don't think they're going to sell very many of them, and I don't think people are going to show up at the Sour Grapes Tour. I mean, there's always going to be some Democratic suck-ups who are going to want to get on the inside of the narcocracy and be the next generation. I imagine this is putting a lot of pressure on Chelsea Clinton. You know, she's got these two aging parents who are frustrated and they didn't get everything they wanted. You've got to go on out and be the president in my place. Now, the FBI has launched an investigation into Sputnik News, and basically, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov is saying this indicates serious censorship problems in the United States of America, and basically saying that the U.S. corporate media is just not used to competition, whether it's from foreign media or the independent media. And they're just out there to just try and shut everyone down who won't go along with the approved agenda. We're going to take some phone calls now. Willie in Nashville, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, sir. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, man. Do the thing. It's cool. Yes, sir. The purpose of this call, I was just curious. I've watched you or on YouTube on the Ron Johnson channel, you know, and I was curious as to if you were familiar with the cat named Clinton Curtis. Clinton as in Bill Clinton, Curtis as in Curtis Mayfield. He was a computer programmer, worked for NASA, Marlboro,
yep.
A very high-level guy. And Tom Feeney of Florida, the state representative Tom Feeney, contracted Mr. Curtis, Curtis, contracted him to write a voting algorithm for electronic voting machines. And I don't know if you're hip to that or not. And if
I've seen the video where he's testifying about this and said, yeah, it's very easy to rig these electronic machines to change the outcome of an election. And of course, the corporate media totally ignored him.
Yeah, and ironically, I think deliberately, in my opinion, the algorithm that he stated in that testimony to the Ohio State Grand Jury was 51.49%. And if you look at the timestamp, and I believe the timestamp is 2001, maybe 2002, somewhere in there on his testimony. If you'll notice, every major election this country has ever had since then has always come out 51% to 49% or very close to it. And I just wanted to, you know, call and see if you're hip to that. And I thank you for your time. Love your show. And cheers, man.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot. Yeah, we're very familiar with that. We've gone back and referenced that time and time again. Again, for those of you who are just now becoming hip to this whole issue of how easy it is to rig elections with these electronic machines, I recommend you go over to blackboxvoting.org. It's run by a wonderful lady named Bev Harris. In fact, there was an HBO documentary that featured her and her work called Hacking Democracy. And what is really interesting, the finale of the documentary, is they go into this Elections Commission warehouse. They select a voting machine at random, and they're able to rig the outcome of a demonstration election they hold right there in the office without even touching the machine itself. And what was really amazing, touching, is one of the people who worked at the Election Commission, she just broke down in tears because she believed she was serving democracy and helping to guarantee an honest election. And all of a sudden she realized she was right in the heart of a gigantic fraud. We're going to go back to the phones here. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. I was just curious if I'm the only one that I'm picking up this signals from Trump about Trump maybe going to the gold standard or something. I mean, when he first came in to be president, I mean, all of a sudden, all the draperies and the seats, everything went to gold, you know? And, I mean, I'm looking back at Trump. I grew up in New York. I remember when he was getting started. You know, I was a kid and all that. But all his buildings had the big gold Trump signs up there. And I just, for some reason, like on a certain level, I just affiliate him with gold, you know, the color gold, the gold-plated disc, gold. And I'm just wondering, you know, weird about people in that respect. You know, and the way society works and everything, I just have a feeling there's something going on with that, you know?
Well, as you point out, Trump has always had this affinity for gold as the facade of his buildings, and it may be partly that he is impressed with gold. I mean, he's a very, very wealthy man, and wealthy people tend to think about gold a lot. Or it may just be his way of trying to convey a sense of wealth and power to the people who are renting space in his buildings or staying at his hotels and resorts. Now, as far as the gold curtains in the Oval Office, those are actually brought back from Bill Clinton's Oval Office, and that may have been a thumbing of his nose to the Clintons. But yes, there's no question that Trump's favorite color is gold. I don't necessarily know that that signals something. I think it's more significant that he has a portrait of Andrew Jackson in the Oval Office, the man who shut down the Second Bank of the United States. But I'm sure that Donald Trump has been told by now that presidents who attempt to get in the way of the private central scammers, private central bankers, bad things tend to happen to them, including an attempt on Andrew Jackson's life, Lincoln's assassination, Kennedy's assassination, and a few more than that. And again, if you go back and you read the original text file of All Wars Are Bankers' Wars, you're going to find, you know, people who died under very weird circumstances who were opposed to the private central banks. They've been running this scam on the human race for 300 years. They're not about to give it up without a fight.
Well, I'm just getting a feel for him that, he's definitely pro gold standard. Just that he sent the Secretary of Treasury to Fort Knox to look it over. And just something about him. I look at Trump as a sleeper patriot. I kind of agree with Alex Jones on that. I think he was groomed from when he was a kid to be president. I mean, there's a lot of weird things like him being on The Simpsons, you know, Nixon saying he should be president, Ronald Reagan shaking his hand and saying, I felt like I was shaking the president's hand. There's a lot of weird things about Trump in that regard. And I think that the whole gold thing is kind of some kind of a symbol on a higher level. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about was this Hillary's hair thing. I mean, are you familiar with this? This guy Skreckle or Skrelly, he put out a $5,000 bounty on somebody getting Hillary's hair. And I'll be honest.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Absurd. But they had a person today being interviewed on Alex Jones's show. And she went to one of her book signings, and when she was getting thrown out for
I'm gonna hold you over the commercial break. Don't hang up. We'll come back. I do want to hear this. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're still talking with Joe in Tennessee, and we're talking about Hillary's hair. Now, when you first said that, I flashed back to Bill Clinton's administration, where they were making a big deal over the fact that every time Hillary Clinton made a personal appearance, she had a new hairstyle. Somebody even actually started a website, HillaryHair.com, where they just had photos of all the different, you know, coifs that she was wearing. It certainly gave off the image of her being an extraordinarily vain woman as well. But now you're telling me somebody has literally put a bounty on a physical sample of her hair?
Well, the interesting thing is Alex Jones had this lady on his show who went to one of her book signings and confronted her on a bunch of questions about, you know, Seth Rich and all the different, you know, the 30,000 emails deleted. And as she was being thrown out, the Secret Service asked her a whole ton of questions about was she there to cut her hair. And then I looked into it, and I found out that this guy that had that drug company that was gouging Screckle or Screlly, he put a $5,000 bounty out for somebody to get her hair so he could test it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. I'm kooky in that I really think Hillary Clinton either died or was totally incapacitated last September 11th when they put her in the meat wagon. And I think we've been dealing with a fake Hillary ever since. I mean, sometimes I see Hillary on TV and she says she wants to be a televangelist. Well, this is probably the young fake Hillary she's not the same woman. I think that that's what, you know, when I heard about this, my hairs went up and I said, wow. Maybe there's more going on here than meets the eye, because, you know.
Let's back up here a little bit. First of all, yes, Hillary was busted for using a double in certain circumstances, but I'm pretty certain that the woman who's out there on the Sour Grapes tour is the real Hillary Clinton. Now, unless the hair includes the little bud at the bottom, you can't test for DNA on hair. But what you can do is your hair is actually a record of all the medications and drugs that you have been taking laid out over time. In fact, they were able to determine that Napoleon Bonaparte was, in fact, poisoned by analyzing a sample of his hair. So that may be what this gentleman wants to do, is find out what medications she's on or what drugs she's taking to keep her going. But I'm again, we know that Hillary used a double during the strain of the campaign, but at this particular point, I haven't seen her at the book signings, but I have no reason to doubt that it's really her, because who else would put themselves through that kind of humiliation?
Well, I mean, they get a body double, and she's going to, what, go back to, you know, Altoona, Pennsylvania and do nightclub acts? I mean, you know, so she's making the tour, she's going on The View. I wouldn't put anything past these Clintons. I mean, Hillary herself is an industry, and if that industry all of a sudden collapsed in a coma on September 11th last year, would you really find it that hard to believe that the Clintons and that whole industry behind them would manufacture a Hillary and keep the thing going? I don't find that hard to believe at all.
Look at how quickly we spotted the fake. Okay, they couldn't get away with it. Thank you for the call. We got to let you go for station identification.
Question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well, now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.